form some kind of motif that has to do with thirds. I'll go first, and then you guys try to develop it. Okay. So same. So actually, it'll just I'll join the circle, so it'll be us four. And so 1, 2, and we'll go this way. 1, 2. I 1, 2, 3, 4.
I know what the arpeggio sound like, but I can't find the.
Yeah.
I can't find the man on the space.
Right. Well, that's one of those things. Like, whenever a bunch of people take a solo over one tune, I'm always trying to figure out, okay, what do they usually do, and how do I take them out of that? Because then you end up with all sorts of other stuff that you don't usually do, and more possibilities there.
Right.
So yeah. So I hear a lot of scales. All right, just only play thirds for a while. You hear a lot of arpeggios, then maybe I would go the other way. The idea is to have contrast. And also a lot of, but beyond that, I think that larger intervals, when you're getting into swing and bebop language, it's more revolving around arpeggios than scales. I think that's often kind of a misconception. Because you learn the scales first, because it's kind of the more basic thing, but scales are really ways of connecting arpeggios. They're not themselves the focus, because, you know, the chord tones of the chord are what you're trying to hit.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, starting there and then filling them in with scales, probably a more stylistic approach, at least to me, take it with a grain of salt, but it tends to be, I mean, you listen to Coleman Hawkins, Lester Young, all those guys, that's basically what they're doing. And then what bebop ends up being is a way of filling in between chord tones chromatically. So you're kind of not... You're kind of skipping the scale step there. But then there are other, you know, you ever hear of the bebop scale. What that is a way of adding a chromatic passing tone between two notes in our arpeggio.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the scale is a product, not a starting point.
Right. Well, it's one of those things that, yes, you can look at all the notes and say, okay, these are all the notes they're playing. But that's not really helpful. It's more that, okay, here are the pillars, which are the chord tones. And then the other stuff just filled around it. Kind of reverse engineering.
It's funny because otherwise when you listen to somebody's song, like they're just playing scales, it sounds like, but then they're not because they're
no,
focused.
It's where they land.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the part.
Yeah, their phrasing has a chord tone and a strong beat.
Right.
Maybe not every strong beat, but enough of them that it matters.
I mean, if I played a solo like this, I could do Over an Artist.
Yeah.
could say, oh, well, I'm playing completely chromatically. Well, not really. Listen to where I'm landing.
You can hear the chord changes.
Right, let me accent the chord tones at the end of each one of those chromatic things. So I'm just
and that's
adding
chromatic
a,
for me,
huh?
And that's bebop and chromatic right now.
Right.
That's me.
Right. I mean, it sounds chromatic, but it's totally tonal in that you're still approaching the chord tones.
Right.
So the idea that you can just put all the notes that you could possibly use over a chord in a blender? No, doesn't really work that way. If you listen to what soloists are doing, it's, yes, these are all the notes that work, but essentially you're landing on certain ones at certain key times.
That totally makes sense.
But the rest is
kind of
like a filler, right?
I don't know. I mean,
that's the other piece.
You can
but
say
the rest is like a filler in a way,
right.
Like also like ghost notes and other things.
Yeah,
it's just,
it's a way of pivoting between one thing and another. It's
so
like
the contrast, right?
Right.
Light thing and this.
Right, and having interesting passing things is important, and you know you can always play with that. I mean, you know, we'll look at it in the context of tunes too, like anthropology. We briefly mentioned is a great example of that, because you end up with, I mean, think about where your key goal notes are, you know. Okay, so what that is, B-flat, E, your rhythm changes, B-flat, those two are chromatic approaches to the D again, and then you end up going up to F, so basically it's this. So it's about breaking down those types of approaches and learning to use them in ways that make sense with where you're landing. Not just saying, oh, well, bebop is chromatic. It's like, yeah, but, you know, there's a lot more going on there.
Right, well, it's with there's a structure.
There's a structure.
Right.
Yeah. Anyways, not to get off on a tangent about that, but it's kind of interesting. Let's do, can we try Black Orpheus? You guys said you might want to do that one.
That's
the Latin ding 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 ding. Yeah, that's right. It. Yeah.
And then as far as doing any, there's really.
I don't know.
Okay, sorry. So for now, I'll just do that.
I'm
just focus on.
You can do little fills, you can change symbols every once in a while, maybe. You'd have to have a condo.
Usually, you can stick with eighths the whole time if you want on that or on the hi hat. You can switch to the hi hat, and then the other one. Usually, you pick the other cadence is the other 1 2 1 2 3 and 4 1 2 or 3 4 1 2 3 and 4 1 What do they call that?
Clavet.
Yeah.
You
modify the clavet a little bit, like on
right.
On two, and a three, 1 2 1 and a 2 and 4, works well.
There's a whole vocabulary of these things.
But for bosses, that's a really common one.